Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. And welcome to another edition of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. My name is Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And with me is my co-host extraordinaire, sitting in outer space today. Well, sort of outer space. We all wish we were in outer space, I think. Ron Brooks, how you doing, buddy?
I'm not in space. I'm actually sitting in my garage.
I know. People that are listening don't see the virtual background that I see.
We're recording on Zoom right now, so yeah. I've got... Instead of seeing my freezer behind me, I put a space scene behind. Yeah. So it's sometimes easier and quieter to record in the garage. So
gotcha. As long as the neighbor's dog doesn't start barking at us, we're good. We're good. Or is it your dog?
I'll try to hit mute. No, it's my dog. He's laying out here too.
All right. Well, anyway, hey, the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast is always real. You get what you get, but we're going to have a good time. And this is going to be a fun episode because normally it's Ron and I or just me and a guest, but this time we have two guests. So we're really going to get at it this afternoon as we record this episode. But I really think this episode is going to be super, super helpful to so many leaders because as we're getting back into going back to school season, churches are starting to say, okay, if schools are starting to reopen, we're going to start looking at reopening our kid ministry. And so each week we're seeing, and almost daily in different Facebook groups, we're seeing the conversation of people are wanting to know, hey, those of you that have already opened, what are you learning? What are you experiencing? And what would you change if you had to? And so we went out and we found two amazing KidMin leaders that have opened their kid ministries and are willing to share with us what they're learning and what they're experiencing so far. And we thought this would be really, really great. And so with us today is my good friend David Renau, and he is the children's pastor at Church of Hope in Florida, right?
Yeah, Sarasota, Florida.
All right. And Ben Christensen is from Canton, not Ohio, but Canton, Michigan at Connection Church. Welcome, Ben.
Well, thanks. Good to be here.
Hey, it's good to have you guys. We're super excited to have you on the conversation. And Ron and I have tried to think of some of the questions that people are asking out there in the Facebook group land. And we're going to try to hit you with some of those so you can share your wisdom with us. And like when we've done these episodes before, it's kind of a virtual round table approach. It's four guys sitting around the table talking kid ministry. And so we're going to have a good time. So sit back, relax, and let's dig into the episode as we go along. So as you guys started pre-COVID, pre-quarantine, give us a little description of what your children's ministries look like. What was normal, quote unquote, normal life, normal children's ministry for you? Ben, why don't we have you start?
So I guess it would be what I consider a typical children's ministry. They were a fairly large church. Pre-COVID, we're probably about just over 1,000 people. And so our kids ministry, our bread and butter is Sundays and then our midweeks on Wednesday nights. And so Sunday mornings, a kids worship experience. Basically what we do in kids ministry is we just do all the stuff that the adults do. Really, I mean, we have a time of worship, we have an offering, we have a message. We do all the same type of things. Just we use a little bit more. I do more magic tricks than our senior pastor does. Just try to keep it interesting and fun. And so that's a big part of it is, we want kids to be excited to come to church. So whether that's our midweek, which is more, we're loosely using the Rangers and Impact Girls curriculum from Assemblies of God. And then Sundays, most of the time, I'm kind of writing my own stuff. But fun is a big element. We want kids to be excited. And then, of course, the other, element that comes first and foremost is that message. We want to be, in scripture. We want to be teaching kids a solid lesson. And so the way I learned it from my dad is that's the message, and that never changes. We pull that right from scripture. What does change week to week are the different methods we're using. Mm-hmm. And so the message and the methods, man, that's where it's at. And so we have a lot of fun, but we also just try to give kids the word of God and give them a chance to respond and grow.
Yeah. Hey, David, how about you? Tell us a little bit about your church and what life was like, ministry was like before the quarantine started.
Yeah. So I've been at Church of Hope for a little less than 2 years now. Hope is it's a church plant from 96. So, you know, it's, I don't know when you stop becoming a church plant, just become a church, but I think we're on that precipice. So we're a church of 1,500. Pre-COVID, we were doing 4 services a week. So we'd have a Saturday night service, 2 on Sunday, and then a Wednesday night service. We are Assemblies of God, but we don't do War Rangers and Missionettes, or Impact Girls, I'm sorry. It's the AG people care about them. Impact Girls. So Wednesday night looked a lot like Sunday morning. I would try to make it, that was a smaller group, and there was a lot of kids who came on the weekend would also come to that. So try to mesh the two together. We've been using a high voltage curriculum from Brian Dollar, which is excellent. And so the whole thing that we're trying to do is build an authentic faith in Jesus Christ, the last of the lifetime. And so we're using a lot of, we're using the Brian Dollar stuff. We're using, I was instituting small groups, really trying to get small groups off the ground, using the Orange Theory stuff of partnering with parents and building that second voice. So I was just about getting to where we could have our third weekend service with small groups, and then COVID hit. So, so all that went out the window. We were running about, I'd say we were doing 180 kids. I was trying to shoot to 200, by the end of the year. So,
yeah.
You know, that's what we were, that's what life looked like before quarantine.
All right.
But life is different now.
So then quarantine hit, and within a couple of weeks, everybody was shut down. Nobody knew what was going on. People were scrambling. After the first couple weeks of the shutdown, how did you guys adapt to the virtual ministry? What did your ministry look like? How did you connect with the kids and their families during that period? David, how about you first?
So after the first few weeks of panic, of what do I do? Because my entire workflow was thrown out and everything that was working didn't work. And it's like, okay, so what are we going to do? So I started doing, at first I was doing 3 online services. I would do one the hour before the Saturday service, the Sunday services. And then those were just live services on Facebook and YouTube. And then I even did Instagram for a little while, but that didn't work. No one was watching, so I quit wasting my time on that one. We were doing, that would be Facebook and Instagram on those things. And then Wednesday night, I would do a Wednesday night game night on Zoom where I would connect with the kids and we just play just some video games. They're not playing Mario. We played it was a video that was like it was almost like a crowd control game. You got it from like Worship House and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So we would play those, and then we do Bible sword drill and things like that. So that was how we connected with the kids online. We gave away bags to kids, that had like the small group materials. So when we first started, we were giving away bags so parents could like take the small group materials and help, it had a craft in it. It helped them, take the faith home to work on, instead of just watching the video, actually do this. So we've shifted away from that a little bit, and now we don't do like the full small group material. Now we just send home the family devotional, which is about half sheet of just questions to talk about and things like that, mainly because my parents weren't using it. So they weren't doing that. So I also started a parent Facebook group to really connect with the parents. So I got probably about half my parents in that. And I also started a texting. So I got about another half of my parents in the texting to that. And then it was all just trying to communicate and be in touch with the people. And, you know, I was calling parents you know, like, how's it going, what you doing, and that type of thing, trying to connect as best we can.
Hey, thanks. How about you, Ben?
I mean, it really is pretty similar. Our lead pastor was real on top of it. So as soon as we shut down church, he just basically laid out, okay, here's our schedule for the week of when we're doing stuff on social media. So the youth is going live 3 times a week, you know, department, children's department's going live however many times. So I was, and then an adult started doing devotionals and all these different things, you know, Sunday service, this is what it's going to look like. So children's ministry, it was doing short devotionals 3 times throughout the week going live. And then in addition to that, doing like an edited kids ministry service on Sunday mornings. I mean, and there's a lot of really good stuff out there that different people have put out that you can use online. But our lead pastor was pretty, you know, jumped in, and I agreed with him too, that as the kids pastor, I needed to be the person whose face was being seen. Mm-hmm. And so, what that meant was we're coming out with a whole bunch of original material, for the screen. And I'll tell you what, the first couple ones, don't go online and find them. All right. After 3 or 4 months now, I've gotten much better at video editing and, okay, this is how long the clips should be. And here's games we can use. But it's a constant creative process too, because then you're like, okay, well, I use this game. How many games can you do through your screen, mm-hmm. you know, with your kids? So right. We've done everything from like I Spy. I went in the kids' room at church and just like hid different places and then edited it so the kids could play hide and seek with me. You know, just like whatever
that's awesome.
Your brain idea you can come up with, you know, you just start throwing it out there and you feel like a YouTuber, you know, and not so much yes. like a pastor, because now you can put out all this information and put it out there and you're like, well, the kids who are going to watch this are the kids whose parents say, hey, come here and watch this. You know, it's not like, oh, right. I'm going to get, it's like, I pulled up one video. I was like, yes, I got 350 views. And then you go into the analytics and you're like, okay, mm-hmm. 299 were for, you know, 3 seconds or less. Okay. Well, you know, and so it's discouraging at times, but you're putting it out there. So we're on Facebook and on YouTube. You know, we mark the YouTube videos as kid friendly. So hopefully if they're using the YouTube Kids app, their videos pop up for them. And, but that was kind of where we're at. And then, yeah, again, starting to text parents and, our volunteers too, just trying to stay in touch with people, because it's a long time without that Sunday morning touch point.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, that connection is harder. So, we also I didn't have everyone's numbers in our system. Cause we have kids that grandma and grandpa brings them or whatever. And they're now out of state or whatever's happening. Cause during, you know, the beginning of it, we still had people down with David in Florida, and now they're snowbirds when they come back, and now they're here again. And
yeah,
the different people bring different people to church. And so we ended up doing just like a hard copy mailer too, and just, you know, put it all out there. Here's like a mm-hmm. kid's newsletter with activities. And that's kind of where we've lived now for a lot longer than I thought it was going to be originally.
Yeah, but, right.
Yeah, so
that's for sure. I think we all felt like this is going to be short term, you know, a few weeks, month, two, we'll be done. And
yeah,
here we are.
If you go and look at my early ones, it said, yeah, we'll get back for Easter. You know, we'll be yeah, back right? for,
hey, yeah.
You know, we were supposed to like do baptisms like the second week we closed, and like, that didn't happen. We still right. haven't baptized. I really wanted to get a dunk tank in when we came back in for in-person services. And then it was social distance, but the senior pastor cut that down.
Dunk tank baptisms. I like that. I think that'd draw a good crowd, too.
I did see there's a church just did a big fundraiser when they did a drive-through dunk tank.
Ooh, hey, oh. There we go. There we go. Yeah, yeah. I think that'd be a good way, you know. I think every senior pastor should preach from a dunk tank. And then if they go too long, the children's pastor gets to throw the balls, right?
Well, every Sunday.
I'm in there toiling, trying to play the game the 15th time. Like, okay, we gotta wrap this up, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe we're not going there yet, but that reminds me. So that's been one of the big things too. We've only had one Sunday back, but that's been one of the things too, is saying, okay, I don't know exactly how long our lead pastor is going to go. I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
But now back is different too, in that I can't have the kids just like go to our game room or, you know, or do stuff like, so yeah, now it's a lot changes. Of that extra planning of, okay, what can we do with kids in their seats? And, yeah, and our check-in process is elongated too, which we can talk about in a moment here.
Yeah.
But
yep.
But that, so now it's like not just your service, but having that like extra half hour bumper on either side of games that aren't
right
too interactive in yes. a way, because you don't want to have that cross, you know, yeah, you want them to be physically healthy when they leave kids' church.
Yes, too. Preferably. And that does, that leads us perfectly into the next question, is the idea of thinking about strategy. When you started getting the indications that you guys were going to start opening your church doors back up for in-person services, obviously you had to start thinking about different scenarios, because everything is always so fluid and changing as far as what every state's different. Although both of you, it's kind of funny that both of you guys are in hotbed states for COVID. Although Michigan's done better than Florida now, but it's still been.
It's all in Miami, Tom. It's all in Miami.
Well, that's
Miami, true. Jacksonville.
I was going to say it is in certain areas, and it was in, well, around where Ben's at. Detroit was a hotbed for a number of months, and still kind of is pretty high. But anyway, you guys had to figure out, what are we going to do? And you know, you're watching the government and CDC regulations and all that kind of stuff. So I'm curious, how did you develop your strategy? And I'm wondering, you know, did you start conversations? Did you survey families ahead of time? What did you do? What kind of steps, if you could give us, did you take to develop that in-person strategy then? So Ben, since you just opened up,
right,
you've got the newest experience, why don't you share a little bit about that?
So Kids Church just started up this past Sunday, but our adult services have been open for a month. So previous to that, before anything at the church had reopened, we were just doing surveys just kind of through our kids' Facebook pages or trying to figure out, you know, just, okay, when we open back up, how many people are going to stay home for a while? How many people are going to come back and bring their kids? How many people are going to come back but keep their kids with them in the main service versus checking them into kids' ministry? And so you have a lot of these things to look at. And then what helped us in kids ministry is that they did do a survey for the whole church and launched the adults first. So I could kind of sit back and watch and mm-hmm. say, okay, I counted, 20 kids on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so we could kind of get an idea of, okay, when kids ministry opens up, here's at least how many kids we can kind of expect. Of course that we weren't right on with those numbers, but it gave us something to shoot for. And then a lot of times, the same way that our kids ministry schedule during service follows the adult ministry, the same thing with our health, with our policies and our procedures, mm-hmm. where our church did something really kind of unique, where our first service was a mask service, so a mask is required the entire service. And then according to Michigan state law, which we've been having to follow, different executive orders and dig through and look, what can we do, what can't we do? Right. So the second service is masks are optional. So when we launched kids ministry, we actually decided, well, we're only probably going to have about 20, 25 kids come back our first Sunday. So let's just do a second service only thing. So that way I don't have to tell 6-year-old Susie, get on her case about, hey, your mask isn't on, you need to make sure that's on. That's just one last thing we had to think about. Mm-hmm. So once we had the adult, we really just followed our adult ministry, and then we layered on top of that. And we decided really to start strict on purpose, because it's easier to start strict and loosen up. This is the same thing with rules in kids ministry, but yeah. you start and then you can loosen up as time goes on, versus let's start really loose because the government allows us to. And then our state takes a step backward, and now we have to put in all these extra things. So we have a touchless check-in, and then we go to a temperature reading station, and then they go to a hand-washing station, and then they go in and sit at tables. We put tables into because I just thought, well, we can give them their own crayons. We can give them their own. We did a bingo game beforehand with video clips, and they could from Bible stories, and they could cross off and do bingo and come up and get a prize off the table one at a time. So we can start, they can do that at a table. And it also helps give them a defined space. Yes. Versus sitting on the floor or, you know, benches or pews or something. So we did tables and chairs, and I think it worked fairly well for what we were looking for, but maybe David can speak to some of that stuff more.
Yeah. So, we opened our adult services. They were family services, family in air quotes, we opened those, last week of May. And then we opened kids July 26th. So we're recording this second week of August. So I've had two services of kids, and I'll do my third one this weekend. So I'm just a little bit ahead of where Ben is. When I did kind of the same thing, and kind of watch what people were doing, for that. All volunteers were required to wear masks. And so I was already going to go ahead and do that. And one of the things I did is I sat down, I was already doing a weekly Zoom call with my volunteers that were working in elementary, because that's where I primarily do my service, where I serve most of the time on Sunday morning. So I was already doing that. So I sat down with them and was like, okay, here's a plan, that thankfully someone in one of the Facebook groups I'm a part of shared, and my wife is like, hey, you should do this. So I just took it and, you know, tweaked it. And so I was walking through it, and they said, I think you should do temp checks with your kids. And I'd heard some other churches doing it, and I was like, what's the point? You know, I thought it was like, there's some things we do in children's ministry that's security theater. You just do it just to make everybody feel good. It's not actually doing anything.
Right, we're just doing it.
But they really said, no, we should do this. And I was like, okay, we'll start doing the temp checks. And so that was a big help. So when the kid comes in, we also, the other thing we did is that a week before I opened, I was on vacation, just trying to get a vacation in before kids church started back up. The schools announced their policies, and the schools are going to require masks. And if the schools require masks, I have to require a mask. So I got back and they said, okay, you know, all the kids have to wear masks. All the kids have to wear tent. We're tent checking everybody. So when a kid comes in, we check them in. They don't do the touch. We that way I only have one person touch the computer, and then the printer spits out on the table, and so they can just grab their tags from there, and then we're not having to touch it. And then we check the temp. We give them a smiley face sticker and stick them on their shirt, and everybody who's been temp checked wears that smiley face sticker. And then everyone has to wear a mask. And if a kid comes without a mask, someone donated to us, I think it was a Catholic church, a bunch of nuns. I wasn't there when it came to happen, but it was a bunch of nuns that donated like 1500 masks. Wow. To us, like cloth, white cloth masks that are blessed with holy water.
Antiviral already.
It's very special. So we took a Church of Hope sticker and stuck it on the side of it. And then here you go, kid. And it's way too big for their face. And so there's a tie.
You're tied around their heads.
but then the kids come in, and they sit. And so we have them sit 6 feet apart. We have stadium seating in my room. So tables wasn't really an option and all that stuff. So I separate them with pool noodles, and I take the pool noodles down. Cause the first thing I tested out with my son, who's five first, the first thing he did was pick up that pool noodle and try to hit somebody with it. So we tape the pool noodles down so the kids know the separation. And then to Ben's point of that, what do I do before and after? I made a 5-minute countdown of those games I was already using for Zoom. I just took those, put a 5-minute clock on the front of them, because now I know how to do that. Thanks, COVID. I put a 5-minute clock on it and then threw that up there. So that at least gives the kids something to do. And then also, they're sitting with their small group. So the small group leaders are supposed to be connecting and talking to them. So they're not just sitting there staring at the wall for 10 minutes waiting for us to get started.
I think the key to all this stuff working, though, too, is, I mean, because a lot of, like, we already had a well child policy in place. You know, that's all still good stuff to just continue on with. And we already had, you know, certain safety procedures. But, you know, for health code, you know, our church during the week, we also have a preschool in there, and there's certain things that they need to check off to be state approved. And I think that the thing that really I had to put extra focus on going into is not just developing the plan. I was just reading the stretch book that Jim Weidman came out with a while ago.
Yeah,
and he really lays it out too, and it made sense for the situation we found ourselves in, that we have this plan. But the second part of that is to aggressively communicate. And I say aggressively because, like, nowadays I can't hit all of my parents just by sending out an email. You know, right. Some people use exclusively Messenger. Some people it's like, no, you have to text me. So, you know, so I try to hit them a whole bunch of different ways. So I just put together like a video of, hey, we're coming back. Here's the new check-in process. And I think that's another just key to having a successful reopening is kind of helping people feel it puts them at ease when they see that. And when you mm-hmm. see you're going above and beyond and trying to do everything you can. And so even walking in and just being like, oh, there's pool noodles in here. We have, you know, they're conscious about not just, oh, sit here and here and here, but yeah. They see that that effort's been put in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems to, from what I've been seeing, definitely helping people. When we as Kid Ministry leaders, yeah, you go above and beyond. And when you over communicate and you let people know ahead of time, here's what you can expect coming in the doors. Here's what it is. I've seen several children's pastors that have created videos walking in and showing people what check-in looks like and what the room looks like. And, mm-hmm. and that seems to really help parents have a peace of mind that, hey, you've thought this through. And so that's, yeah, I love what you guys are saying. I think those are some really good lessons that you've picked up there as you've started to open back up.
Yeah. So now that
I did the same video and I even shot B-roll so that they could see here's where all this stuff is. And so instead of it just being a talking head, here's where it is. And I hit all those channels, just like Ben said,
that's good
every way.
Now that you guys have had 1 or 2 weeks under your belt, was there something that you did that you thought would be good and turned out to be not so good? Was there something that you maybe forgot about and you'll do different next time? What was your experience, David?
I was looking forward to Ben because Ben started chuckling there when you said that. one thing that we did, and it's our administrator who said we should do it. He wanted when everybody checked in, we set up tape for check-in 6 feet apart. And he wanted, our max capacity in my room is 31 kids with the social distancing. And so he wanted us to put 6 feet of tape, 31 steps back. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. There's no way. The only way I'm going to have all 31 of these spaces taken is if everyone shows up at the same time and we're not ready to take people in. This is not going to happen. But, you know, you do what your leadership tells you to do. So I was like, okay, fine. So I put up the tape next week. No. We're not doing it. I still have 10 spaces, which serves right. the purpose, but 31 right. was ridiculous. sorry, the administrator. The other thing that we did is what I said is that 5-minute countdown that I did before, because the first week we met, I just had the kids just sit there. And the small group leaders are supposed to be meeting with them. Well, I'm also the 4th and 5th grade boys small group leader. And so those boys literally had nothing to do because I'm doing all my children's pastor stuff and these boys are just sitting there just staring at a wall. So I was like, okay, we got to come up with something to do with them and go for there. So I also changed my structure for how small groups worked and that. And so that was more of just kind of a tweaking where I talked to my small group leaders, like, okay, did this new structure work? How did, you know, what do we need to adjust and that kind of stuff.
That makes sense. Now, Ben, now that you've caught your breath from all of your laughter, this is what we've all been waiting for.
So here's the deal. I didn't realize, I mean, the kids didn't think about it either, that all of our older kids, their last kids' church service before they moved on into the next area was last March. Like, and also all of the kids that moved up from preschool this was their first Sunday back.
Oh, so, wow. Promotion Sunday.
Well, yeah, by default. And so,
oh my.
So we had about 23, 24 kids last Sunday, and eight of them had just turned five.
Oh, wow.
And had never been in kids' church before, ever. And when I have the younger ones come up, I typically change my summer schedule. We do more like rotation to different zones. You know, I structure things differently because they're coming from an area where they've had their Bible story, but they've also had snack time and they've had free play time and they've had all these different elements that now they come into to the elementary age area and we don't give them a snack typically. You know, there's maybe on a special Sunday or something. So everything's just new. And here we are going through this all this extra process. And so one thing that worked in our favor is we intentionally tried to overstaff. And so I did have extra help just helping keep kids corralled and engaged and, you know, kind of focused. But I look back and I realize that as the kids pastor, I need to hit kids where they're at. And typically I shoot for like the fifth, sixth grade level. And then I let the younger ones come along. Right.
Amen. Because
if I shoot for third grade, if I shoot for second grade, those fifth grade boys aren't interested.
Yep.
And so I shoot for the older ones, but I'm just in a season right now where I'm having to rethink some things based just on last Sunday and said, okay, I might need to do a few more things that are just fun just because that the younger ones will really grab onto. Part of that is they come up, none of them read. So we can't look up a scripture verse.
Right.
You know, I can't have them read something off the screen. And so, so that's why I started chuckling a little bit because typically I would have planned for it differently, but because of COVID hitting this whole thing, now jumping back in, I can't jump back in where I was 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. I have to reevaluate some of that stuff. So this Sunday will look different than last Sunday did.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought we were coming back to Promotion Sunday because some do it in the spring, some do it in the fall. And so either way you're hitting it. And that I'm glad you brought that up though, Ben, because I don't know. I mean, I think that's a good thing that all of us need to pay attention to as we're thinking about reopening is how are you going to do that? I mean, I know some people have already jumped to what are you going to do for fall festivals and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, whoa, let's get started again. And then we'll think about other events. And I can't imagine a lot of us having the energy to do a lot of big events right now and, or even could pull one off for that matter. So I'm just curious, we're going to start running out of time here soon. And man, you guys have shared some good stuff. I'm just curious for those, what would you suggest? How can you help somebody that's thinking about reopening now? They're starting to get the sign that things are going to reopen for them. They're going to be able to open the Kidman area again. What advice would you give them? Give them some tips now that you've done this just a little bit. What do you wish you had known if somebody had told you, hey, think about these things like we just talked about. Hey, what about Promotion Sunday move up time? So give those that are listening some advice about reopening. What would be some of your tips, David? I mean, you did write a blog about this too. So I we'll put the blog in the show notes so you can go read all of his points. But give us a couple anyway.
Yeah, I'll just hit a couple of the, but yeah, Ben was right about that Promotion Sunday because it slapped me too because we were supposed to start like Promotion Sunday on the calendar was supposed to be the day that we graduated, but the middle school ministry, they weren't ready. We were talking about it, but other things happened and they just weren't ready. So now I had all these fifth graders that were floating around like, where do I go? What do I do? And it's like, oh, I just want this to be intentional. And so it was just, it's still a mess, really. That's what it is. If I could just be honest, it's just a mess. We're going to promote the end of August and I think we'll be ready. I think the middle school guy finally put down a date to make an event to make that happen. But I think if I was to give some advice is one, and someone asked me this on a group this morning in response to my post, is that if there was one thing that you wish you'd done, and I wish I'd done what Ben said of really like surveying my parents. Like I didn't send out like a church-wide like Survey Monkey. And I wish I'd done like a focus group of parents mm-hmm. to like see where they are and what they're doing. Yeah. Cause for the most part, I was asking parents like on my Facebook group, some of them were back in service and some of them are not. So I had about 50-50 there. And then I was talking to the parents that were actually coming to church on Sunday and all of them, they were all in anyway. Most of them were anti-maskers anyway. So it was just like, yeah, whatever. We're just waiting for you to do this. But I wish I had gotten more of them into a room and gotten and listened to them more. And not just listen to it, just asked. I never even asked the question. So, and that's not to say that I didn't have any pushback or, you know, like, why are you doing this? But I think that, I may have been able to get more on board more on board to coming back and parents being more open to what it is. The other thing that I would say is listen to your schools. What are your schools doing? Because parents are going to expect that you do similar to whatever the schools are doing. So that's kind of like your blueprint of what are the schools doing? That's what your kids are doing. And the other thing I would say is don't forget about online because it's so easy. Yeah. Now I had a full slate of work before COVID hit. I'm busier than I've ever been. Okay. Now I'm back in service, but so now all that work I wasn't doing is now slapped on top. And so it's easy just to say, well, I'm not doing online anymore. We can't do that because after this is over, people are still going to be, kids are still going to play travel ball. Their parents are still going to go on vacations. Kids are still going to be sick and kids are not going to be in service. And so this gives you ability. I put in my post, it's like you've created a kids online campus.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. And so you steward that as well, because this is another way for you to reach kids that you not normally do it. And especially outside of your area, I got kids watching me from literally all over the world. Now it's less than 1%. So it's like one kid. So yeah. I'm not like bragging here, but you know, thanks Facebook for telling
you're
me.
You're an international YouTuber now, right?
International. Yeah. Our pastor's from Canada. So it's like, we got Ontario viewers today. for real, like I may never see some of these kids that are connecting with me every week. And so I don't want to give up on that just because I'm back in person.
Right.
It's all about partnering with parents. And if I can send it to their home, that partners with them so much better than sending home a half sheet of paper once a week.
Yeah. Which becomes minivan floor liner anyway. So
that's true.
The tragedy with COVID, I could say this in a lighthearted way, is that there are a lot of minivans whose floors are exposed now and the carpet, people are seeing their carpet for the first time because the take homes from churches are no longer covering their floor and the floor liner is gone, you know, and they're like, oh my gosh.
I thought the seats were brown.
Yeah.
They're actually
yeah.
gray. What?
They're not the colors of the rainbow from all the construction paper that comes home from church. Hey, praise God, no glitter in the van. That's awesome. I'm glad that you brought up the online thing because I do think that would be a huge mistake. But I also think we have a golden opportunity to say, hey, look, this is an opportunity to build a team, to get students and kids involved. They would love to be involved in creating a YouTube channel and keeping that going for you. And I think some leaders are like, oh, how can I do all of this? You know, I'm like, don't do it all. You don't have to do it all. That's part of what, when I offer KMC coaching, I'm telling my coaching students, don't do it all. That's what you build teams for. And that's part of discipleship process. So keep it going. So good advice there. So Ben, what are some tips that you would give? I know you only got 1 week, but I know that you've learned some lessons.
Oh yeah.
So what kind of things would you advise that they're getting started again?
Well, you probably can't, if you're watching back in the podcast, the whole time David's talking there, I'm just nodding my head saying, yep. So it's right on. The old phrase is plan the work and work the plan.
Yes.
So you get that plan is where you start. And then, getting people involved is huge. And it's hard because I felt like we we were really starting to gel, and we had just put in had some different people join our leadership team right before all this hit. And I was like, oh man, we have momentum. And now it's kind of like a rebuilding process. But there are so many good things we can take from this. Like you said, not only the continuing the online presence, but I know there's children's pastors that have said, hey, I've just taken time and I've called every kid. You know, like, why aren't we doing that before? You know, yes. I mean, and why should that shouldn't be something that stops? You know, we continue to reach out and try to connect with kids where they're at, not just, you know, our own big special event or whatever that is. So any opportunities. And I know that there's going to be, it's continuing to change, because I've also seen kids pastors post and say, I used to go to school every week and eat lunch with kids, and now they're not allowing any outside visitors. And so there's things that we used to be able to do to connect that we might not be able to do either. So it's just kind of rolling with it and being flexible, realizing that your first Sunday back will not be perfect, and that's okay. We're just going to be excited to jump in and see everybody. And the only other thought I had while David was speaking, and I'll kind of end with this, was that when we came back, I thought, great, I'll just film my live service and I can chop it down to a 20-minute thing and I'll put it on online. And so that's what we did. I'm airing it a week after, just because of the way we did that. And oh man, I hated it. I just like the stuff I was producing for the little camera on screen, I could be on for 30 seconds, you know, and have this highly dynamic thing. And then I'm watching back the service later, and I'm like, okay, here I am. I'm getting wordy. I'm stretching this thing out. This isn't going to play on the screen while they're watching it at home. So I'm kind of going back to saying I can be the same material, but I need to record it separate. It was interesting. The one thing that was hard for me my first Sunday back is that energy level, because now here I am for, you know, an hour and a half with the kids versus, you know, 30 seconds at a time in front of a camera, which I've gotten used to now. But even like leading worship and things, I'm like, I got back Sunday afternoon, I'm like, my voice is tired. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, so if you haven't started up yet, start singing in the shower now.
Practice those motions, because you don't remember.
Right.
First song I led, I was like, I don't know this song. What are we doing?
Dad came back and did it like three jumping songs in a row and almost had a heart attack. Yeah, we haven't done this.
Get the oxygen.
Cardio is out.
Hey, you know, I will agree with that, because I got in, I had the opportunity to go to did 2 weeks of camp. And the first time I had to go to this camp, it was out in Pennsylvania, and because of the restrictions, it was only day camp, and they had me speaking six times a day. And the first four were absolutely terrible. I was in my head. I couldn't get a rhythm. I don't know if you've ever, you know, when you do a lesson and you know your outline and yet you're arguing with yourself about how to present it, and then you look at it and you're like, am I connecting with these kids? Am I, you know, my jokes are going nowhere. I mean, I was trying to tell dad jokes, and I mean, I couldn't even get a groan. I mean, not any, I mean, I had these little kids just staring at me like, who is this moron? Get him off the stage, you know? And that's what I felt like in my head, you know? And it took me until that sixth one on that first day to go, oh, I remember how to. So I agree. I think muscle memory is a serious thing that we do need to get back in ministry shape, so to speak, for that. So good advice, fellas. Good advice.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys coming on. I'm hoping that some people that are listening are going to be helped and encouraged by what you said. But in the event that someone listening has a question for one of you, since you guys have already been through this, what's your contact info? Do you have websites? Are you on social media? How could somebody get a hold of you if they wanted to? David?
Yeah, I'm on the big three. David Renault. Facebook is David E. Renault, because I used to be David Renault and I changed it. Facebook said, no, you can't change it back. So David E. Renaud on Facebook and David Renaud on Twitter and Instagram. I blog at davidrenaud.blogspot.com. And you can always, you know, shoot me an email, david@churchofhope.com. So I'd love to help.
Thanks. Ben, how about you?
Ben Christensen on Facebook, and then the other side of things is I still get to go out. The church allows me to still go out and do different programs and a lot of variety shows, circus stuff, and crazy things. So I'm at bencomedy.com is the website, and all the contact information's on there and stuff too. But if they want to get a hold of me, church email is ben@connectionchurch.info. Hit me one of those ways, and love to chat with whoever wants to talk.
Yeah, and they're both part of the KMC Facebook group, so if you have questions, you can always tag them in there. You definitely want to check out Ben's stuff. He is an incredibly talented guy. He and his wife, man, you guys both do some really amazing stuff and have a good time presenting Jesus right foremost. Man, if you're looking for a gospel program, something that puts Jesus front and center, not just entertainment, but I mean real high quality entertainment, but Jesus front and center, check out Ben. I have watched some of his stuff. I've seen him. I know his father, who also does some great stuff. His dad's Randy, and he has been around. He's closer to my age, so yeah. I'll put it that way. But he is amazing, amazing talent. God has gifted them both. And so if your church is looking for something, are you doing stuff online, Ben? Are you doing online shows?
I have done a little bit but it's the, everything's kind of dried up for the most part. For the 2020 calendar, but it's interesting as things start coming back, as I talk with a lot of entertainer friends, a lot of things have started to turn the corner, and there's different churches starting to book some things again. And of course, it just depends on your area and your state guidelines and all of that type of stuff too. So,
well, there you go. And you do have to check out David. David has this Potato Head Theater thing going that I have thoroughly enjoyed watching. I used to do that too. So I love the fact that you're doing them.
It's so fun. It was just one of those things. Is like, hey, we need to tell this Bible story. I have all these Star Wars potato heads. Let's do these. That's on my YouTube channel, but I only have 27 subscribers, so it's super difficult to find.
All right, KMC, let's start going crazy on David's YouTube there channel. So
just search Potato Head Theater. I'm sure it'll pop up.
Well, you can share that in on the weekend on the KMC, or put it in our resource group page. Sure. You can share your videos there. So, hey guys, thanks so much. Ron, this has been a great conversation, man.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this, and I think it's going to be real helpful. So as you do think about reopening and you need some help, feel free to reach out to these guys, myself. KMC Coaching is here to serve you, and we've got some openings for the fall. If you would like some one-on-one coaching, or if you'd like to join one of our coaching groups, just head over to kmccoach.net, and we'll be happy to touch base with you and figure out how we can make that happen for you. So, hey, thanks for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. Thanks for sharing it out. Leaving a review would be awesome. We always love those, and we'll even give you a shout out on air if we see your review pop up. But that helps us get the word out for more leaders to hear about the KMC and what we're doing, because we're here to serve you and to help make the kids ministry community stronger so that we can reach more for the gospel of Christ. So thanks for listening, and join us again for another edition of the KMC.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders, and if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page, or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.